This is Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Catherine Loper. The way our culture fixates on appearance could have some real consequences, according to our next guest. Renee Engeln runs the Body and Media Lab at Northwestern University, where she's a professor in the Department of Psychology. We talked about the negative implications of a society obsessed with appearance. Renee, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, we like to think that we value people by their personality and their accomplishments and that sort of thing, and that's what we preach as being the ideal. But you say in your book, Beauty Sick, that doesn't really help, that we are still obsessed with appearance, and even though we know what we should be basing our judgment of people on, we can't look past appearances and beauty. So tell us why that is.
Well, I think many of us want that to be the case. We want to think that we move around in the world and we evaluate people based on our values, based on their character. But what we know is that there are a lot of cultural forces that are pushing us in a different direction. They're pushing us to really focus on how people and women in particular look, and that we are often evaluating people in terms of an appearance-based currency, that they're worth more if they look a certain way.
And it is different for men, the way we view men versus the way we view women, right?
Right. I get that question a lot. And I always want to be clear that there are many men who struggle with issues like body image. That's absolutely true. But we also know that men and women live in pretty different social worlds when it comes to appearance focus. You can see that very clearly, for example, if you look at rates of plastic surgery. So around the world, close to 90% of cosmetic surgeries are being done on women. And we can't look at data like that and not think it tells us something about the way we value women.
And this impacts girls and women, right?
Absolutely. We see this at really young ages. You can hear 5 and 6-year-old girls already talking about dieting, for example, even before they really know what that means. There's already this intense focus on being pretty, on having the right clothes. Little girls learn at a very young age that people are focused on how they look and that they'll get rewarded in this culture for being pretty.
And this whole thing you describe as beauty sickness. So Describe a little bit about what you really mean by that term, beauty sickness.
So I started using the term beauty sick because I was worried about what happens when you put so much emotional energy and so much of your time, so much of your resources into how you look, and it actually takes away from things in life that matter more to you, things that don't have anything to do with how you look. So I would hear from women who would skip important events because they felt like their clothes didn't look right on them that day. I'd have a student skip class once because she said her skin was too bad and she just couldn't be seen. And these concerns are normal to some extent, but when they start interfering with your life, when they're making you less of the person you want to be, and when they're taking away energy from the problems you'd rather be focusing on, that's why I use the term sickness.
And so what's your advice? I mean, you write that beauty sickness, as you mentioned, steals women's time and energy and money. So how do we get beyond that?
I think we have to fight this battle on multiple fronts because it's a big one. And I'd love to say that there was this great, easy, simple answer, but of course there aren't simple answers to complex problems. I'm a psychologist, so I focused a lot on individual behavior. And at the individual level, there are a lot of small steps we can take that make a difference. For one thing, we can really change how we talk about and to women and girls, I would add. So instead of when you see a girl or you meet a woman, you immediately say something about how she looks, you compliment her in that regard, stop that habit and talk about something else instead. Right, talk about something that has to do with what she's interested in or what her character is. And I think we can also work to stop the way we talk about our own appearance and the body shaming we often do on ourselves when we complain about how we look or the way we've gained weight. That really causes body shame to spread. And the more we talk about how women look, the more we're sending the message that that's what matters, that that's what we should be focused on.
You also have some concrete advice for women who hate particular body parts. You know, I've always thought my thighs are my worst body part my whole entire life. A lot of women hate their upper arms. So yeah. What's your concept of how to deal with that?
First, I think we want to be honest that it's hard. I think it's awful that we sometimes will shame women for feeling bad about their bodies, right? As though you should just magically be able to love your body in this culture no matter what. So I think first, recognize that it's normal to struggle that way. But then I like to recommend reframing your focus on your body in terms of what your body does for you. Your body at its core is functional. It's to help you move around. It's what brings your impact to bear on the world. It's for doing things. And so those thighs may not look exactly like how you want them to look, but I bet they still do some good things for you. I bet they take you places, right? I bet they let you maybe play with a child you love. Or those upper arms that women complain about so much, those are the arms you use to hug the people you love, right? Those are the arms you wave around when you're excited to communicate something. Our bodies are for doing. It's easy to forget that. We feel like they're for being looked at, but that's not what their primary purpose is. And it can be really helpful to remember that. It can help you build gratitude for what your body does for you every day.
It's a little bit like thinking about, you know, age. Like, a lot of women don't want to admit their age, but all those years got you to where you are now, and same with your body parts.
Right. Aging is the price we pay for having lived, right? And again, aging is hard for women in this culture. When we prize an appearance that, you know, is how you look when you're 20 years old, of course you're going to feel a struggle when you're moving away from that. But every mark on your body is part of your history. And you gain wisdom as you age. You gain knowledge and expertise. You might even be gaining compassion and love. All of those things matter much more than how you look in a bathing suit. And I think we all believe that at our core. We just need some help remembering that on a daily basis and trying to build environments and cultures around us that respect that and appreciate it.
Are there health implications to this beauty sickness? I mean, does this impact women's health?
Absolutely. So the thing people usually think of is, well, of course, it's related to eating disorders, and you might think it could cause anorexia or bulimia. And absolutely. But I also hear the argument all the time where people will say, well, you know, we should feel body shame because that'll help us be healthier. Right? It'll help us like maintain a healthy weight. But that's absolutely false. In fact, the more you feel shame about how you look, the more stigmatized you feel about your body, the more difficult it is to make healthy choices, to exercise regularly. Shame is not doing you any favors. The way I usually put it is that we don't take care of things we hate. So if a lot of your energy is going into hating your body, it makes it really hard to treat it kindly, to keep its health in mind.
If a lot of this is about how we think about ourselves and other people, does it work to just think that everyone is beautiful and beauty is different for everyone? Does that work?
I think that's a lovely idea, but I don't think if we look at empirical data that it's really going to help. And the first problem with it is that we don't really believe it. Right? We say it. We say everyone is beautiful. But everything in our behavior and attitude suggests otherwise. Right? So the other problem is that we don't believe it when people say it to us. Like if you're feeling unattractive one day and someone says, no, you're beautiful, your reaction isn't usually, oh, right, thanks, I am. Right? You don't feel that way. And instead, what I worry is that some of this really well-meaning focus on everyone is beautiful is just making us think more about how people look. What I would love is to see a world where we focus more on other aspects of people, particularly women, where we think less about how they look altogether. Because, in fact, you don't have to be beautiful. You shouldn't have to be beautiful. It's okay if you don't feel beautiful. What matters much more to me is what you do and what you say.
It seems like part of this, though, is just possibly the way we're wired as humans, though. Do you think this will ever evolve?
So evolve is an interesting term to use because I think it's fair to say that we have evolved to be very sensitive to how people look. And I don't think we can turn off the parts of our brains that do that, right? We're going to notice how people look. We're going to be aware. It's normal to care about how you look. But the argument I'd make is that we can turn the volume down a bit. We don't have to be this focused in particular on how women look. We don't have to be talking about it all the time, writing articles about it all the time, putting pictures of celebrities on the front of magazines and evaluating whether they've gained weight. We don't have to do those things. I think we can make a lot of changes in our environment and in how we act and behave that can help create a world where it's not as focused on beauty.
Well, I really appreciate all your research into this topic, and thanks so much for joining us today, Renee. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been great talking with you.